think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a What Are the Odds Wednesday, so please put odds on whatever it is you call about. Miss the first hour? Some good stuff. We mentioned the Cal Golden Bears and how far they could go. Jan Huffnagel, who was an assistant coach with Cal, was fired Monday.
Right.
And did you see the reason why he was fired?
I did not.
There was an investigation into sexual harassment claims against him. In a report filed by the university's Office for the Prevention of Harassment and Discrimination, it was released on Tuesday. He was said to have admitting to propositioning a reporter for sex and trying to trick her into going to his apartment.
Trickster.
Yeah, he definitely is a trickster. But apparently, they did not name the reporter. But over a six-month period, they decided what he was doing constituted harassment. It included sexual text messages, and he was objectively intimidating, hostile, or offensive, repeatedly propositioning the complainant for sex, and in some cases, suggesting that her participation in sex would grant her greater access to parts of the sports world in his control. And she claims that she blocked his advances, and then she was denied access to information. Yeah. She needed to do her job, and that she eventually lost the job as a result. I'm going to say a good reporter can still get that information. So
I would say so.
I mean, it sounds like this guy really did all this, but that's not why she lost her job. She probably lost her job because A, it's newspapers and they're laying people off, and B, I'm just going to say she might not have been very good, because if one source on your team is blocking you from stuff, you're not doing your job well. But apparently he denies withholding information from her. He also allegedly repeatedly asked the reporter to have a three-way with him and a friend of his, which, you know,
it's still very professional at it, I must say.
No, it's not. And I guess the worst part is apparently he met the reporter at a bar after she suggested meeting for coffee. When they arrived, she ordered tea, which he told investigators made him think she was, quote, the lamest girl ever. Apparently, she drove him home to his apartment complex because he had been drinking and wound up inside the garage to drop him off. And he directed her to park in a designated spot, which was an elevator-operated lift spot, which would have suspended her car above the ground. Said she refused to park in the spot and felt he was attempting to control her ability to leave. She recalled telling him that she was just going to turn around, to which he responded, "You're coming up." Said, "No, I'm going to leave now," but he kept insisting. She said that she asked him, "Are you thinking that I'm going to have sex with you?" To which he said, "Yes." She apparently said, "Not going to happen," and then something's redacted.
Doesn't he know he's an assistant coach?
Yeah, head coach is not a problem, but
yeah.
But says, "Not going to happen. You and I are professional colleagues, not interested in you." She noted at that point the garage door was closed behind them with the car inside, and he indicated that he didn't intend to let her out of the garage.
I mean, let's face it. Do you think Bobby Petrino, if he were an offensive coordinator, would have had that chick on the motorcycle?
No.
No. That's only head coaches get that, bro.
But, yeah, he said he was trying to trick her into going upstairs. He added that he believed his conduct was inappropriate, but that it didn't constitute harassment.
Okay.
But
I mean, like saying, "I'm not going to let you leave till you have sex with me," that might be considered harassment. I'm not a lawyer. I don't claim to be an expert on things, but I'm going to go with that. that could be construed as harassy.
Can I just say it's been my experience with women. When they say not going to happen, that's a pretty good
indication.
Especially
if they don't say it like while they're smiling at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like sometimes they're going to smile and say, no way. You know, then you're like, oh, okay. Maybe you say no way, but I can tell. But when they say, when they look at you sternly and say, dude, it's not going to happen. I'm not into you. That's a pretty good sign that it's not going to happen.
No, I've been told that many times. That's not happening. Like, okay.
Yeah.
That's it. Thanks.
I was told that every time until my wife said yes, finally. I think she was just drunk.
Yeah, that complicates things when you get them drunk. And yeah. But anyway.
Now she's living a life of regret.
Well, what are you going to do? Hey, RJ Bell's going to join us today at 5:30. We're going to talk a little tournament, and we'll throw a little presidential stuff in there, too.
Yeah, also 6:30, Mark Hunt will join the program.
All right.
UFC heavyweight Mark Hunt, who fights on Saturday against Frank Mir. And you can see, so we'll talk to him leading up to that fight.
So, John, did you get a chance to listen to any of the Ocho Cinco interview with Glenn Davis last night?
A little bit, yeah.
Was it any good?
They talked a lot of soccer. And they did talk a little bit about the NFL, and he kind of gave a nice insight of why he chose to play football, because his first love was soccer when he was little, and his relatives kind of convinced him that the NFL will take him further than soccer because they weren't really wealthy, and to play soccer you need to be over in Europe when you're little to get that academy training, and he was. Yeah, that was my favorite part of that interview. So,
okay.
You can go to podcastarena.com.
Well, and I've been meaning to. I've just been a little busy today.
Yeah.
But for the listeners,
you can go to podcastarena.com and search Glenn Davis and Ocho Cinco. Chad Johnson's interview is there.
All right. There you go. And we mentioned it on the show yesterday, so I wanted to follow up. I apologize. I wanted to listen last night, but we were going to play trivia at one of the bars.
I think I'm going to end up doing that tomorrow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed because 2 weeks ago, there were three of us, and one of my friends had to leave early, so Val and I finished it off, and we won. And last night, I've got my dream team of trivia people, and we're like fifth.
Oh.
But
that's the worst because your confidence was probably sky high.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought we had it won. But the one thing I figured out about this trivia is they always have a horse racing question, which is right up my alley, right?
Right.
Although this time it was like a one-point question.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Did you get it?
What horse won the Triple Crown in 1973?
Oh.
Everybody knows that, not just me. I want one of those that you have no clue. Like, you know, what year did Citation win the Triple Crown? Something like that. Texans signed safety Antonio Allen, who we talked a little bit about yesterday.
Yeah. It doesn't move the meter for me. I think they still need another safety because I don't think that Antonio Allen is a guy. Well, maybe they're comfortable starting him. I don't know.
I don't see him as a starter, no.
I don't either.
I see him as depth.
But I still think they need something else there. But last year they felt they were better at safety than they were. I still wasn't sold that they were good at safety. And then they were okay at safety. This all goes back to, I think, the big miss on DJ Swearinger. This shouldn't even be an issue right now for them, but that's a big miss. And that guy just did not pan out, and they haven't found a consistent pair of safeties back there since.
I think Andre Howell developed into a pretty solid player for him. I mean,
he's fine.
I'd love to have a Troy Polamalu in his prime, but the way that defense works, you just need a guy who doesn't miss tackles and who knows where to be. And, you know, they used Kareem Jackson in that role a little bit last year, too. And you might see more of that if Johnson develops and, you know, those two become kind of your corner. And they've got some pretty decent third corners. I could see him back there a lot.
I don't
more
mind
too.
That. I kind of like him better as a safety, actually.
I kind of do, too. So would I love to see a better one? Yes, but do I think it's a major need? It's kind of like pretty much any position on that defense. Would I like to see him add another defensive end? Yeah. Would I like to see him add another linebacker? Yeah, but I don't think I think what they have is good enough there.
Right.
And same thing with the receiver. I think what they have is probably good enough. I'd like to see them, that's an area where I'd more rather see them add something. But really, to me, it's just, they've got to do something with that offensive line. I mean, they need to add some depth there, and that to me is the is the number one area of need on this team now.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
All right, guys, going to tell you about Deep South Barrels. I've been telling you about them for quite a while, and if you haven't checked them out yet, I don't know what you're waiting on. This thing is awesome. If you're a drinking man, and most people who listen to this show are drinking men, it just makes perfect sense. It's a local company. They're right down there in Pearland. Support a local business and support some good people. Listen, these things, they're barrels that help age your whiskey quickly, so you're not having to wait years and years. It's small personal size barrels. You pour some booze in there, give it 30 days, and it's going to be a world of difference. Right now, they are out at the rodeo, of course. Stop by their shop in the NRG Center. Customize your own personal size aging barrel to add to your bar at home. Tell them you want to use the promo code Hoffman while you're checking out, and they will hook you up with 10% off your entire purchase. Once again, go find Deep South Barrels within NRG Center at the Houston Rodeo. Get 10% off your entire purchase by mentioning promo code Hoffman. Again, Deep South Barrels, deepsouthbarrels.com, promo code Hoffman.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So, can I throw some lines at you from the tournament? And you tell me interested, not interested, or all over it.
I can do some of that.
All right, let's...
I can play that game.
Yeah, well, we'll look at tonight. There's two games. Southern minus 2.5 against Holy Cross. That was actually a pick'em not too long ago. I actually punched Southern as a pick'em. I don't like it at 2.5, but I don't know if you have an opinion on that one.
I'm with you. I wouldn't like it at 2.5, but I think Southern wins the game.
Michigan minus 2.5 against Tulsa.
I lean to Michigan. It's not a play for me. I like it if you can get it under 3.
Okay.
I actually hit him at 2.5. I wish I wouldn't have. So I'd rather not be in that game.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to tell people they should go play it. But I saw it get up to 3.5, and I was like, I don't know if I like this as much as I thought I did. But I do like the under in that game. I think that game goes actually quite comfortably under.
All right. Moving on to some of the
things. I was on last night, too, the under in the Wichita State Vandy game.
Which you were, which I piggybacked on. Yeah. Thank you for that.
And that wasn't much of a sweat.
No.
It was really bad offensive basketball.
Yeah, people hate betting unders, but there are times to do it. All right. Here we go. Buffalo plus 14 against Miami.
I think I'm going to go with a pass on that one.
Okay, Wichita State.
I think it's a slow game.
I don't have an under under total on it yet.
It's 149.
Okay,
I'd probably lean Miami with those points. I'd be willing to give the points. I think Buffalo's one of those. They're going to get drubbed.
Wichita State plus 1.5 against Arizona.
I like Arizona. I thought I was going to like Wichita State coming into this game, but I just watching them last night, Arizona's going to give them some big time problems.
Baylor minus 5.5 against Yale.
I want to say Yale so bad. That number's way shorter than I'd hoped it would be.
Well, that's the thing, and I could see a scenario where Baylor runs them out of the building,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, if I had to make a play on it, it'd be Baylor.
Yeah, I'm probably
I mean, Baylor's just – the size difference is going to be big for them. I mean, that's it's playing – it's like having huge wide receivers against tiny cornerbacks, and eventually it's going to end up going that way.
Yeah, I'm probably playing Baylor there. Duke minus 10.5 against NC Wilmington.
Give me UNC Wilmington.
North Carolina.
I'll also put a little UNC Wilmington money line action.
All right. How about Florida Gulf Coast plus 22 against North Carolina?
It's a pass for me.
Okay.
That number's too big. I mean, and North Carolina should drub them, but that number's too big.
Providence minus 2, USC.
I like Providence.
I do too. Hampton plus 23.5 against Virginia.
I like Hampton.
I'm with you on that.
Virginia doesn't win very many games by 23.5 because scores are typically low.
And just not how they play.
They're horrific offensively. I mean, they're as good as anyone defensively, and I'd probably look at under 133. That's a big number for a Virginia game.
Okay, Butler -4 against Tech.
I think Butler wins. It's a no play for me. That 4 is too much.
Okay. Austin Peay +26 against Kansas.
No, I can't play it.
Yeah. UConn -3 against Colorado. I kind of like Colorado a little bit here.
I think I'll take I liked Colorado when I first saw the bracket and just looking at it a little bit more. I like Connecticut. It's not a play for me. I do like the under in that game.
Okay.
I think it's 133 as well. At least it was when I wrote these notes, under 133. So I like Connecticut and the under in that.
All right. Tennessee Chattanooga +12 against Indiana.
I'll take Indiana.
Okay. Stony Brook +14 against Kentucky.
I'll take Stony Brook.
Arkansas Little Rock +9 against Purdue.
I'll take Arkansas Little Rock. I almost picked Arkansas Little Rock to win that game.
Well, yeah, and that number is, I mean, I love Arkansas Little Rock.
Defensively, Purdue will be too much for them to beat, but I like that
nine
number.
Points. Yeah.
Yeah.
Iona +7.5 against Iowa State.
I like Iona.
Fresno State +8.5 against Utah.
No play. I would lean Utah.
The Zags -1 against Seton Hall.
Everyone seems to be on Gonzaga. I guess I'm the one guy who believes in Seton Hall. I like Seton Hall there. I think, especially if you're going to give me a point, I would have expected Seton Hall to be 2-3 point favorite when this matchup was announced. But everyone seems to think Gonzaga is the play there. I'm going the other way. I like Seton Hall.
NC Asheville +17.5 against Villanova.
I'll give me UNC Asheville. That's a lot of points.
Temple +7.5 against Iowa. I like Temple there.
I like Temple too. I in my brackets, Temple beats Iowa, so I like Temple.
You gotta love 7.5, yeah. Maybe a little money line action on that too. SFA we talked about earlier in the week, down to 7, which I punched it at 7.5.
Yeah, I like the I like Stephen F. Austin getting points.
Cal State Bakersfield +14 against Oklahoma.
No interest.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in that either. Oregon State +4.5 against VCU.
I'll take VCU.
Okay. Green Bay, Wisconsin +13 against Aggie.
Give me Aggie there.
Okay. Texas -4.5 against Northern Iowa.
I'll take Northern Iowa with those points.
Should Texas be favored by 4.5 over anybody right now?
I don't think so. I think
Northern Iowa is not garbage either.
No, they're not. I'll take Texas to win the game, but 4.5 points, that number's too much.
Weber State plus
If I'm not mistaken, that's the lowest total on the board also. I think it's I've got it at 124.5 when I wrote these notes. And I was kind of like, wow, that's a really low number and made me not want to touch it just because it's the lowest number by 5 points on the board.
Weber State +13 against Xavier.
I'll take Weber State +13. And that's actually a pretty strong play.
Pittsburgh getting 2 against Wisconsin.
I like Pitt to win.
I do too. Middle Tennessee State +18 against Michigan State.
No play.
Syracuse +1 against Dayton.
I like Syracuse.
South Dakota State +9.5 against Maryland.
I won't take a side. I do like the over in that game. 143 is what I had, and that's a good play for me. Over 143. I think Maryland scores a lot of points. I think South Dakota State can score too, though. So I don't want to touch that number, but I'll go over in it.
Cal -7 against Hawaii. Knowing they have a coach who was a little bit rapey.
Yeah, I like Cal. A lot of people are telling me that's an upset watch. Cal's just so freakishly talented. It's hard for me to imagine that happening. I do like the under in that game, under 144.
And St. Joseph's +1.5 against Cincinnati.
I like St. Joe's.
I think I'm missing one game on here. But
Oregon.
Yeah, okay.
With their game, they don't have an opponent yet. So they'll have one later today.
Okay.
And Notre Dame, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the two we don't have yet. We'll be able to hit those tomorrow, too. All right, so there's a lot of action there. It's going to be a very busy couple of days. So I like a lot of the ones you're on.
All right.
713-780 ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776.
Chris says, what up, AJ? Could you guys explain a draft big board? Is it in order of best overall or by position? Usually a big board, a team's big, and it's different for each team, but usually a big board is basically listed overall, like all positions. They say these are the players we like the best. This is our overall grade on them. And, you know, positionally, it's broken down differently. But the big board is typically every player that's available and how your team has them ranked.
Yeah. Frank's drinking a Kentucky Habit at Pimlico. Sweet. Nice. Got any waffles? Man, that is. I still have one growler left of that.
That is a good brew.
Yeah. But that's one of my all-time favorites. It's one of the best I've ever had. Let's squeeze in a call from James. What is up, James?
Sports, man.
Sports to you.
Hey, what are the odds of having Keith Smith pick as opposed to them trading down? And which do you think would be a better choice?
Depends on the package. If you can get a couple extra picks, that's a team that I think could use some depth. In a couple areas.
I also think that team, I think they're very high on Joey Bosa. And as much as I think Joey Bosa is a big dummy, I think he's a perfect fit for what they do. And that guy could just be a monster for them.
And they're not going to ask him to think.
No. So I think that's the guy they really want. I'd say they're more than likely going to hold on to it because I think that's a player that they feel really fits their system.
Yeah. And, you know, if not, there's a couple other guys I like at that spot. Depends on what happens. If somebody trades up in front of them to get a quarterback, because you got to figure Cleveland's taking a quarterback no matter what.
Yeah.
And you might wind up having a player drop there that shouldn't be there. If somebody else, like let's say Goff goes two, well, maybe the 49ers are trying to trade up to three to get Wentz.
Right.
So it might affect how things go there. All right. We are going to take a very short break. We come back. RJ Bell will join us. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And we are back on The Blitz. And I know some of you are confused thinking it must be Friday because that's RJ Bell's music. Pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. But we're a little bonus time this week, so we could talk some NCAA hoops and, of course, probably a little presidential stuff too because we always do. What's up, RJ?
We think about what the people need, and then we deliver what the people need.
That's what we do. We just went through every single line on the board a segment ago and came up with some plays for the people. So hopefully it'll be a very interesting few days here. How much money do they take in Vegas compared to other major events for especially these first two rounds, basically?
I think this is going to be surprising for a lot of listeners. If you take all the money bet on the NCAA tournament itself over 60 games, we estimate globally, and remember, it's just an estimate because it's not all regulated. Globally, we estimate $12 billion, that's a B, billion dollars globally on March Madness. Super Bowl, we estimate $10 billion. So, yeah, many more games, but when it comes to an event, actually more money on the NCAA tournament.
I want to jump right in some picks because one of the games that we talked about that I know AJ liked a lot was Seton Hall, and I think you were on that one as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I like Seton Hall a good bit. I think I don't like him as much the first game as I do for the tournament. So they're a 6 seed, and it's right around Pick'em right now. They can be +1 Seton Hall in some spots against Gonzaga. And I think the reason, now that I think about it, I like them in the first game equally as well as the rest of the tournament, is I think there's a negative to Seton Hall and a positive in the first game. The negative is they played a lot of tournament games, were very successful, and that success led the casual fan, the type that tunes in the weekend of the conference tournaments, to say, oh, look, Seton Hall is looking good. And that's usually that combination of the public being impressed, getting on the radar of the casual fan because of the weekend win, and then because they're tired. Think about it. During the regular season, a college kid plays twice a week, typically, college basketball. Now, some of these tournaments, four straight days. You know, many of them, three straight if you end up winning the tournament. So imagine two games in a week versus four straight days. Very different. So what I like to look for in the NCAAs in the first round is a favorite who lost on Friday or Saturday. So they have a little sense that, hey, we've got to be, you know, looking to bounce back and be at a fever pitch. Obviously, they're always going to be motivated for the tournament. But if they're laying 9 points or 11 points, that extra bit of focus might come because they lost the last game, not to mention the fact that they are rested, whereas the teams that had to play all the way through Sunday are more fatigued. So Seton Hall has the public interest because of the good performance last week. Also, they are somewhat fatigued, you would think. So that's the negative for round one. The positive is Gonzaga has name recognition from prior years, but this is not the same team. So I just think generally Gonzaga is a little overrated. And thus, because of that, let's call the round one a wash. And the reason I like Seton Hall in that game is I just think they're very underrated. I think this could be, with Seton Hall, a top 10 team. And certainly being Pick'em against Gonzaga does not say that's the way they're being priced. So I like Seton Hall round one, and I like them to go a little wows in the tournament.
I said this when the bracket was announced and everybody was jumping on Gonzaga. I reminded people that, hey, Gonzaga lost to St. Mary's in the tournament, the conference tournament. They wouldn't even be playing in this tournament. They wouldn't have gotten an at-large bid. Seton Hall did not have to win the Big East. They were the third-place team in the regular season in the Big East. That's a good team. And now all of a sudden, so the third-place team from a respectable conference like the Big East is now an underdog to a team that wouldn't have gotten an at-large bid had they not won their crappy conference.
That's that deep level analysis that the D-Gen listeners have come to expect.
Well, you talked about the
I agree, though, by the way.
You talked about the conference tournament success a little bit, but kind of let's get into some of your big picture tips here, because I think these are there's some just great advice here for people who are looking to fill out their brackets.
So, as we said, conference tournament success, not a good thing. And remember, these are road games. Some have a slight home field advantage because of the small travel distance for a few of the teams, and you should account for that a little bit. But in general, look at how these teams did on the road. And oftentimes in college basketball, you see teams that before the conference tournament won't play hardly any road games. Or if they do, they're against, you know, horrible teams. Then in the conference tournament, they play obviously some road games, but what, you know, 9-10 or whatever. And then that's it. So if the whole year, if they play 35 games and they've had, you know, 10 road games, that can be very deceiving. And then you have other teams, obviously, that will play a lot of tough road games. So how did the team do on the road is so much more important throughout the season than how they did at home. Number two or three, coaching experience in the tournament. I don't care if you've been around 30 years. If you haven't been in the tournament a bunch, I don't want to hear about it. Coaching experience in the tournament is key, because this is unlike any other tournament, any other college basketball games. You know, playing Thursday, then Saturday, the tickets, the travel, the all the things, the brightest lights, the press. A coach has done that 3, 4, 5-plus times, so much better than a coach that hasn't. Fourthly, remember the trend line. There's no sport in which the late season matters and should be weighted more than in college basketball, especially if the team is young. You'll sometimes see, and I think I was a good example of this, an older team that kind of, you think they're going to be nice and mature and have a good year. And then, you know, mid-season, you kind of figure out, you know, these guys just aren't good enough. Because inherently, there's a reason a senior is still around. It means he can't be in the NBA. Now, if you have great teamwork and borderline NBA talent, you know, in Butler, we saw years ago achieve that and such, you can be an elite team. But in general, is if you have an older team, they're playing similar in December to March, at least they should be. But if you have a team like Kentucky, which is obviously the default example, how they're playing in December not nearly as important as they're playing in March. So don't be deceived by the season-long stats with the young teams. Really wait the March and the late February results more. Last thing, and this segues into, you know, as I said in Dr. Strangelove, N5 is, if you haven't seen Dr. Strangelove, get to it, is WVU, West Virginia. This is a team that has a extremely quirky approach to basketball. They press like no team in the country. And if you're in the Big 12 and you play that twice a year or three times if you play them in the tournament, conference tournament, all of a sudden now, you know, year two, year three, you get used to it. The coaches get used to it. This non-freshman players get used to it. If you match up against WVU in the tournament, you've never seen anything like this. And this is an analogy, and you guys are old school with the capping, so you'll remember, you used to hear a lot of talk, especially when there was option teams in college football, where the option team would have an advantage in the bowl games because the teams they would play in conference, like a Navy or Air Force back in the day or whatever, would be very familiar against the option. But there would be many teams that hadn't seen the option ever, you know, or 5 years or whatever. And thus that was an advantage. I think Syracuse in college basketball, another example, quirky zone defense. They've had, I think, inordinate success, Boeheim has, in the tournament. And I think that quirky scheme is one of them. And I think West Virginia is one of the teams, if not the team, that benefits from that quirky approach. I think they're a great long shot, 20 to 1. You can shop for even better. And actually, pro bettors tell me there's three teams that would be favored over number one Oregon. So they thought Oregon was overseeded. Those three teams would be Michigan State, Oklahoma, and West Virginia. So this is an underrated team with a schematic advantage. I like West Virginia a good bit, round one and in the tournament.
How about you've got some great tips for people trying to fill out their brackets here. If you could hit on a few of these, especially when you're talking about the 13 and 14 seeds.
Yeah, and good stuff here. But what I will say is that numbers are hard, so I'll keep it high level. But on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, I've been tweeting out my link to my 14 bracket tips. And it's a great read because even if you don't handicap, if you don't bet sports, if you're just talking for the listening for the repartee every week between me and the boys, then this is an example where you can use Vegas to your, or not in this case Vegas, but tournament history to your advantage. But here's the overview. Is initially you got to have some upsets. If you look at the second, third, and fourth seed, winning all in the first round, it's only happened 4 of 31 years. So you got to have at least one or two upsets. Now, a general piece of advice is the more opponents you have with your bracket that you're competing against. So let's say us three were playing. So it's a very small competition. I would be chalk, chalk, chalk. Upset here or there, maybe. But if I just did all Vegas favorites in the first round and then higher seeds after, I would have a great chance to beat you guys. If I just, I could do that in, you know, 2 minutes, because if you're trying to figure upsets and this and that, yeah, there's a chance they're going to happen. But a team that's getting 6 points, you know, that's a 13 seed, you might think they have a decent chance to win. And game theory says, hey, if I'm competing against 10,000 people, it makes sense. I got to have a few upsets. But if I just went favor and then, you know, chalk with the seeds after that, because you don't know the spreads after, I think I would beat you guys. But if I was competing on ESPN.com or whatever, you have to have a bunch of upsets because it takes an amazing performance to win. So that's a general piece of advice. But regardless, you got to have one or two early. But after that, Cinderella has a ceiling. Every round they have a ceiling, and I'm going to just rattle them off. Sweet 16, 12 seed or better, 98% in the modern era, 12 seed or better. In the Elite Eight, 248 Elite Eight teams, only one has been worse than an 11 seed. One of 248. So if you somehow have a 12 in the Elite Eight, you're bucking a ton of history. Final Four teams, 148 of them I'm looking at, only three worse than a 9 seed. So now in the Final Four, 9 or better, or you're bucking a lot of history. Lastly, when it comes to, actually, there's two more real quick. When it comes to the championship game, it's 6 seed or better. And then finally, when it comes to the champion, a 4 seed or better, 26 of 27 years. So literally just with those stats, you can kind of look at your bracket and understand there's certain teams you can't pick to advance unless you want to buck a ton of history. This is a great way to let history guide you. And, yeah, if you're a genius at this, you might want to buck history, but there's not many geniuses. I certainly don't want to buck history.
Well, RJ, you were about as close to a genius as we know, so we'll go with that. But
I'll take it.
Hey, I just want to tell everybody, if you're not into the betting aspect of it, but you're doing brackets, go follow RJ right now at RJ in Vegas, because the stuff he's tweeting out is really gold when it comes to filling out your bracket. And RJ, appreciate the time, man. There's a lot of great stuff here I'd love to get to, but you know how this thing goes.
We'll be back on Friday. One quick thing, though, real quick, 10 seconds, is we do the Dream Pod, where we have a podcast with two professional bettors and me during the regular season of the NFL and the playoffs. We did a two-hour Dream Pod breaking down every first-round NCAA tournament game. There's a link on the pregame.com homepage. I really think, even if you're not a sports bettor, if you're filling out your bracket, it's a great listen.
Now, who's your Final Four, RJ?
You know, it's funny. I was on with Stephen A. today, and he asked, and I haven't filled my bracket out yet, and I had to double talk. So what I will say is this, is history tells you, so I still haven't filled it out, but I can tell you guys honestly, with Stephen A., I had to double talk, is with NCAA tournament Final Four, you want one or two number one seeds in the Final Four. It's like out of 31 past years in the modern era since 1985, it's like 24 times there's been one or two, and only 7 times there's been either 0, 3, or 4. A lot of people, 3 is the number they like. They have one upset. You're bucking, again, a lot of history there. One or two based upon how many competitors you have. If you're in a big, high competition bracket, go with one number one seed. And if you're with less people, go with two, but you can't go with more than two or you're bucking history.
And that's RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Go check out the website too. It's great, pregame.com. And I'm going to listen to that podcast on the way home tonight so I can get some insight from you guys. So appreciate it, man.
Hey, me too, guys. Enjoy the tournament. Talk to you Friday.
All right. All right, guys, I got to tell you about dirt-free cleaning. And listen, if you've ever had to replace your carpets, you know it's expensive, you know it's time-consuming, you know it's a giant pain. No one wants to deal with it. Well, now you can keep your carpets looking newer, longer. No matter how long you've had the old ones, Dirt Free will extend the life of your carpet so you can go longer without replacing it. I've used Dirt Free for a long time. I've been telling you about them for a long time. They do fantastic work. Listen, they're all over the state now. I used them in Austin when I was there. They leave your floors looking like new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. They're not using soaps or chemicals, which can damage your carpet's fibers long term. They've got a non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water and truck-powered equipment, and that's what really sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they don't come back. Sunday service is now available in case you need your floors cleaned on Sunday. Start the new year with a brand new look and feel of clean carpets. They've got a great deal right now. 3 rooms for just $99.95 with a free speed dry to the first 25 callers that mention my name. That's 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. Call 281-347-8373 for dirt-free cleaning.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. The madness is finally here. Join ESPN 97.5. Beat the host 2016 NCAA Bracket Challenge. Compete against all of our radio hosts. Beat them to claim the ultimate year-long bragging rights. The top 25 listeners to beat our on-air hosts will win a $25 gift card to next place, while the first place winner gets a Pro Dunk Gold basketball system from Hoop Sporting Equipment valued at $2,200. It also includes installation. And 2 through 11 win something from Uberito. It's not on this thing, but I had to do a little video for the website. So go watch a video of me, even though I wasn't prepared to do a video and I look terrible. But anyway, log on to ESPN975.com to play. Registration is free, courtesy of Hoop Sporting Equipment, Acceptance Appliance, Uberito, Nick's Place, and ESPN975. Jong, have you checked to see how many people are signed up lately?
No, I did it earlier this afternoon, and let me check now.
Okay. Why don't you do that? In the meantime, we shall do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day. The Bannock Jeweler gem of the day.
I am starting to think that college campuses are getting a little too... Yeah, you know how I feel about political correctness, but some of them are just going way too far.
Right.
This is from a publication called the California Aggie.
Okay.
I don't know what school ASUCD is. Do you know that off the top of your head? It's got to be California, and they got to be Aggies.
I don't know.
I mean...
Yeah, you got me.
University, it's the Associated Students at the University of California, Davis.
Cal Davis, okay.
Okay, so it's Cal Davis. Well, the group, the ASUCD, hosted a block party on the quad.
AS threw me off.
Yeah, me too. But see, okay. it's a student publication, so they're not going to say what the school is, right? Well, they hosted a block party on the quad. And they offered a lot of activities for students, Student Appreciation Week, kind of the same thing that every school does, right?
Right.
Well, one of the things they did, and we see this all over the place now, are dress in sumo suits and wrestle each other, which, you know, they do that at Rockets games. It's kind of common, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? The activity immediately drew criticism from members of the student body who accused the group of fat-shaming and culturally appropriating Japanese culture.
Okay.
The sumo suits trivialize Japanese culture and the history of Japanese rikishi or sumo wrestlers.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, fat shaming as well.
Of course.
Can I think I speak for all of us here. You kids need a life.
Seriously.
You need a life. And not only do you need a life, man, I don't want you graduating because you're not the kind of people I want out there making decisions about anything. What the hell? Fat shaming? Oh, because somebody's have you watched sumo wrestling?
Yeah,
How many skinny sumo wrestlers do you see? It's just a fun thing that they were doing for the students. They put them in their little sumo things. And why would the Japanese be upset about that?
I don't know.
Sumo wrestling's a big deal to them.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why they're upset.
Well, it trivializes Japanese culture. That is the most absurd, politically correct BS I think I have seen in forever.
Yeah.
Shame.
I'm out on that.
Yeah. So, and of course, they have to apologize. We'd like to apologize for any harm the sumo suit may have caused you all. This lapse in judgment is completely ASUCD's fault and responsibility alone.
So stupid.
We are thankful to a student who courageously brought this to our attention. This was an egregious oversight, and it will hopefully not happen in the future.
That's a damn shame.
My goodness gracious. And, of course, now they've turned it into a PhD student in cultural studies. Believe the incident was evidence of the lack of awareness of the racism against Asian and Asian American students. My overall impression is that this conversation isn't itself an expression of white supremacist anti-Asian structural racism. Jong is the resident Asian. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I don't find it offensive at all. I kind of find it funny.
I think it's fun. Oh, my God. You people are too sensitive.
Well, what do I know?
Well, you made fun of a guy who stutters. So.
That's true. I didn't make fun of him. I just laughed because yeah, it was funny.
You laughed. That's true.
I didn't make fun of it. Let's
all right,
separate those
fair
two
enough,
things.
Fair enough. I'm just curious.
You can't always choose what you think is funny.
That's true. I happen to think that these oversensitive students, I find them amusing.
It's hilarious.
Because, first off, those are students that are not having sex. I can assure you of that. Hey, which is fine if you want to be celibate. That's your thing. That's cool. But don't channel that frustration into making up crap.
Yeah.
And being offended. You know, it's funny because a lot of the comedians have been talking about how, you know, a lot of them get upset because when they go play these college campuses, the reaction they get to their comedy because everybody's so damn politically correct. Is this the future of our country, AJ? Because it is.
Yeah.
All right, so right now it looks like the future of our country is going to be these kind of people and Donald Trump.
That sounds about right.
I've loved doing the show with you, but...
It's been real, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't think this is the future. This is the now. Like, I think it's been building up for a very long time, and it's crescendoing, and it's all taking place. Like, everybody nowadays gets too offended, and it's been a long time building up.
Well, there are people who go out of their way to try to be offended over things. And this is one of those. And I kind of wish I'd found this yesterday, because that could have been my Hey Man Bleep That. Because, look, I get when things are truly offensive to somebody, I get it. All right? I mean, but when you're going out of your way, and then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you got Trump.
Yeah.
So what's left for the normal ones of us who, you know what, we're going to make some inappropriate jokes. All right. It's going to happen. We're not going to be politically correct, but we're not intentionally out trying to offend people.
Hurt people's feelings, yeah.
Yeah. It's just sometimes jokes go bad, and sometimes you do hurt people's feelings. And when that happens, I apologize.
I usually don't.
But, 832, whoa, what do you mean, you people, Fred? You're shaming us blitzers. Oh, boy. We need equality and tolerance of people that have a sense of humor. Yeah, we do. All right, guys, we got another hour to go. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.